Welcome to Game Store Profits, where we talk about God, gaming, and groups. I'm your host, Daniel Fisher, along with the Casey Kasem of cards, Mike Perna.
Oh, wow. Just when I think, you know, you can't get any weirder, more obscure, or more ridiculous, you go and dig up Casey freaking Kasem.
You know, it's the end of the year, Mike, and you know, New Year's is coming up. You know, it'll be right after we release this podcast. And, you know, what better way to celebrate New Year's is with an iconic person for television at that time of the year.
What do you mean? Like maybe like Dick Clark, maybe?
No, Casey Case. Okay. You're the Shaggy to my Scooby.
You know, that I in some weird, bizarre twist of nature, that actually does sound believable.
So what have you been into, Mark?
Wow, there's so much that I could talk about. Mostly I'm in pre-baby mode. I could talk about this at the end, but why not? Let's just put this out there at the very beginning of this episode of the podcast. This is going to be my last episode of this podcast for a while, because I am literally, at the time of this recording, 10 days away from my baby showing up.
And folks, if you don't know, prior to recording this, we were discussing babies, because, you know, you might get to hear mine here in a minute, who was screaming his head off. I was telling Mike the joys of getting your child to sleep.
No, I'm in a constant state of telling people that I am both equal parts incredibly excited and incredibly terrified. And pretty much every time I mention that, everyone looks at me and says, yep, that's pretty much what parenthood is all the time. So, you know, I'm as ready as I'm going to be. I'm psyched for the concept. But at the same point, one thing that I know for absolute certain is the fact that as wonderful as you all are, as much as I love each and every one of you, and that the fact that the regulars are my favorite people on the internet, y'all are not even going to come close to my tiny baby, and I'm going to want to spend all my time with him and my wife after he arrives. So there's going to be a period of not listening to me after this episode airs, because I'm going to spend some time away and spending more of my time with them. However, Daniel and Jeff have something cooked up in the fact that you know, my chair won't even be cold and they will have filled it.
Yeah, if a lot of y'all don't know, me and Jeff have been working on a secret, top secret fill-in for Mike, and we're going to have lots of fun with that.
So, just because I'm not going to be around doesn't mean that Game Store Profits won't be around. I'm actually looking forward to not having to worry about editing or recording. It'll be a beautiful time, and it'll be just a wonderful experience, as I find myself not sleeping because of a screaming baby, as opposed to not sleeping because I'm putting all of this stuff together.
Wait, are we not even looking at Bard and Bibles?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you, segue. Bard and Bible is going to continue. You've got two more Bard and Bibles. There's going to be one that comes up shortly after this one hits the air, and there's going to be another one after that. After those two Bard and Bibles hit, you're going to see, a guest dwarf bard in charge of the inn for a while. And, that's going to be Jonathan Campoverde, who is going to step in. I have tasked him with
interns.
I have tasked him with recording at least three episodes. He might have a fourth in him. But yeah, so shortly after I finish up those episodes, you will still get your Bard and Bible, even though I will, not be doing them, but you will not be lacking for bardic wisdom, as it were. But yeah, I could spend a lot of time talking about things that I'm going to be playing, but if you've listened to us in years past, you will know that when we end the year, we always try to do like pretty much every podcast in existence does with us, which is kind of wrap up the year with some awards, as it were, for some of the things that we want to single out for their excellence in this particular year. If we have a set of our own categories that, you know, we're not a review show. We make no bones about the fact that we don't do reviews. This is literally just us talking about what we're playing, talking about why we like playing it, and then talking about how that relates to spiritual stuff in and just the day-to-day life of a bunch of guys trying to do ministry around games. So that said, we don't necessarily do some of the traditional kind of awards. We don't do things like best components or, you know, best game expansion. We don't do any of that because it's not our shtick, really. There's so much out there that none of us even gets a chance to look at. So we don't really have a leg to stand on when it comes to showing that to you guys. So instead, we kind of come up with our own categories, and sadly, Mr. Romo, due to the fact that Romo has had so much, you know, family stuff going on this year, he has not had a chance to look at anything.
No.
So he basically said, guys, I don't really have a lot to say. And so we're just like, you know what, Romo, just hang out, spend some time with your fam. Don't worry about it. We got this. So this year you are going to be hearing about all the different categories that we usually bring out every year. We have added a little bit beyond that. But pretty much the standard, if you've been listening to us in the years past, you will know what these categories are. And I hope that you'll be able to, you know, understand a little bit about how we game and what we think is good to get out there and check out. Last episode, we gave you our favorites in our collection, and there's gonna be some overlap in these awards, but we do think that a lot of this stuff, some of it is limited to what came out this year. Some of it isn't, and we'll be sure to specify that as we go through our categories. But Daniel and I just want to talk about some of our favorites, and to start everything off, because, you know, there's so much going to be jam-packed into this as we try to explain all these categories and all this stuff. We're not even going to do any of the archive dive. We're not going to do any of the games we're playing. We're just going to get into it. So, Daniel, we're starting off with the first category, best game played. So for those of you playing the home game, the best game played does not have to be limited to a game that came out this year. It doesn't even have to be limited to a game that we've never mentioned before. Literally, there's something about this game that was particularly awesome that we played this year.
Well, this is an old one, and I've talked about this game in the past. And no, it's not Zombies, even though it's like one of my favorite games ever.
Give it time, we'll get there.
But this is Castle Ravenloft. It's based upon 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, and it is a game that the board changes every time because you're laying down tiles. And the reason for this is because my son has finally taken interest into Dungeons & Dragons.
Nice.
And because he will not shut up about Dungeons & Dragons, and I can't run him through a module every night, every few nights, we pull out one of the board games, the D&D board games, mainly Castle Ravenloft at this moment, and we're working through each section of Castle Ravenloft, each game scenario.
Now, a lot of people who have listened to us probably know the basic gist of the D&D board games, but in case somebody out there has no idea what these are, just kind of give a rundown of the general vibe of Castle Ravenloft.
Okay, well, first of all, the way the D&D board games work is you get 5 characters based on the general classes that you would normally have in Dungeons & Dragons, and you get a very light first level and second level character sheet for each character. Basically, you don't get all the wonderful stats that you would normally have in standard D&D, but you have certain scenarios that have to be done in order to advance to the next one, but it'll tell you to like grab X amount of tiles and hide this tile in the middle of these tiles. And then as you go through the game, everybody pulls a new tile and places it down. So therefore your dungeon is growing and you're moving your characters like you would in D&D. And then every time a new tile is put down, a new monster is put down and you have to fight that monster off until you complete your scenario.
Yeah, it is a straight-up dungeon crawl.
Pretty much. But it's fun. It gives him something to do, and he gets the idea of, I'm having to roll a die for this, and he's learning about AC, he's learning about his hit points, he's learning about attacks, and so whenever I see him to play regular D&D, which we do, he doesn't have to ask me a million questions. He's learning.
Yeah.
It's good.
I certainly can't even begin to point out a flaw in, you know, games that you can get excited to play with your kids. Like, I have a funny feeling that every year. It might take a couple years, but pretty much every year from this point on, I'll probably be doing something like, yep, my kid loved playing this. It was awesome. So here we go. So I definitely think that there's something that will elevate any game when, you know, it's something that you can share with your kids.
Yeah, that's great. So, Mike, what's your favorite game of the year?
My best game...
Or best game played, sorry.
My best game played has to come down to... It's a game that has been around for a while, but I only just got it to table this year. I only just got a chance to experience what this game is about. And I have completely jumped in on the hype train. My best game played is Terraforming Mars. The short version, we've mentioned it fairly recently, so I won't go into too much, you know, detail about the game, but the short version is that Terraforming Mars, every player is playing as the representative of a corporation, and that corporation has been sent to Mars with the task of terraforming it and making it livable for human beings. In a way, you're all kind of working together because you are all individually doing stuff to make Mars more inhabitable, but this is not even kind of a cooperative game. You are all trying to increase the temperature, increase the number of oceans on the planet, and increase the oxygen percentage. When you get all of them up to a certain level, the game is over. Whoever has done the most to terraform Mars and to make it livable, that person is the winner. I love this game. I think that it really does hit the sweet spot for me in the... It has a lot of depth to it, especially due to the fact that depending on which corporation you play can really change the way you go about trying to terraform the planet. There's also the fact that you have even simple expansions that have already come out, including one that I haven't even seen yet. But there's one expansion that's literally just a couple different boards that change the milestones that give you points, that change the way the planet is laid out so you can put different things different places. It's such a simple, easy-to-understand game that still has a ton of depth to it. And so because of that, it's definitely my best game played because that is my wheelhouse. That is exactly what I'm looking for in a game. Something that I can throw down in front of somebody who's never really played any kind of deep strategy experience, but at the same point, somebody who has and who wants to get that really solid, you know, bite into it kind of game can still dig it. And Terraforming Mars, I spent years hearing about the hype and... I only just got it to the table, and I believe all the hype that this game's getting. So, yeah, no doubt it is best game played.
Sweet.
Okay, the next category.
Best game added.
Yes, the next category is best game added to the collection. This is another category where it is not limited to games that came out this year. This is literally anything possible that's out there. The idea is that, you know, we don't get a chance to add a ton of games to our gaming library. So when we do, it's kind of a big deal. And there are certain games that we have to add that really just rock our world in one way or another. Either it's the fact that we just love the game, or it's the fact that it fills that particular niche that we've been looking to fill. So here, we'll do this kind of snake draft. You went first last time. I'll go first this time.
Sweet.
If you listened to last episode, you know exactly which one I'm talking about, because this game quickly rose from I've never played it, but it looks awesome, to my number one in my collection. That game is Scythe. I was actually given my copy of Scythe this year. It was added to the collection this year after I got, you know, as a gift from the guys over at Game Church for going to talk to them about board games, which is the easiest thing I've ever done to earn a board game. But Scythe is amazing. I have so much fun with this game. The thing that I love most about it is the fact that at its core, it really is this dry Euro. You are moving your guys to put them in position, to get the resources, to get the points. But there's so much flexibility in that, because there are certain bonuses that, you know, will be different every time. There is the idea that, you know, you get points for fighting, but at the same point, you can build a strategy that makes it so that you never have to get into a fight and you can still win. I like the idea that it's not just about conquering territories, but you also have to curry the favor of the people to get bonuses towards endgame scoring. Plus, the art style is just phenomenal. I love everything about this game. It has gone to number one with a bullet, fired out of a mech in the middle of Eastern Europe. I love this game. I want all of its expansions. I only have the one yet.
I haven't even gotten that one yet.
If there's ever a game that I want to bling the crap out of, it is Scythe. And yeah, there's not even a hesitation in my voice when I say that this, bar none, was my favorite game added to the collection. You can't add your favorite game ever and not think that it's going to win this.
Well, since you got the hype up there, my favorite game of the year, or added this year, was a gift. And that's one of the reasons why it was my favorite game. It was a gift for at Gen Con this year, you know, for my team. And it's Wasteland Express.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick.
And another reason why it's my favorite is because of the genre of the apocalypse. It's just my favorite. And then, also, the last reason is because T.R. Knight helped write the rulebook.
He did.
And his name's in it. And next time I see him, I might get him to autograph it right next to his name, which will give him a big hit. But, you know, one of the things that almost knocked us out of my best game added was the fact that this is another 4-hour game.
Oh, yeah.
And being a father and a husband, it's hard for me to donate any time outside of my family to a 4-hour game. And it's kind of hard with kids because I can't get them to play it.
Well, your kids are still a little young to get into. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we talk about the fact that it's this cool post-apocalyptic theming, but really it is, it's a pick-up and deliver game. You're fighting off raiders, but at the same point, it's literally, I'm getting bullets here to bring them over here to get water for this thing over here. Your kids are still a little young for that.
Little, yeah. But hopefully I'll be able to get it on the table soon.
Yeah, no, Wasteland Express is hardcore on my wish list, so I can't even begin to fault you for that. Okay, the next category. This one, I'm not going to lie, probably of all of the things that we did, it's not always been the case. Normally this can be a slam dunk for me. I can honestly say that this year there is no category that I spent more time thinking and going back and forth on than this one. This is favorite game publisher. Now, there are so many things that are going out there in the world. The gaming biz is filled with so much stuff that it's hard to kind of figure out how do you bring like one company to the forefront? But we're going to try in these awards for one reason or another, and we're going to try to explain why we picked this company, but something about these particular companies this year set them apart from the rest of the pack, and it was so close for me, I may end up having to do some honorable mentions. But we are snake drafting, so Daniel, it's your turn to go first. Who is your company and why?
Okay, so my company of the year is Hava, and the reason being is I have small children. I always like to find a company that makes games that the entire family can enjoy, and so far, they're doing a really great job at it. You know, the newest addition to my family, not Sammy, is Rhino Hero, and I absolutely love and adore that game. It's great. It's awesome. And, you know, as Mike said, you know, about finding games that at different stages of his kid's life that, oh, wow, we played this game, and this is awesome, this game. It's mostly, for the first few years, going to be Hava.
Going to be Hava.
But, yeah, it's pretty much it for me this year, is Hava. And I plan on adding more this next year.
And they ended up releasing Rhino Hero Super Battle this year, too, so
yeah,
that's always going to...
I didn't get to play that one.
Oh, it's so good. All right, mine... Like I said, I went back and forth on this. There are so many that could have gone it, But let's, you know what? I did say that it was so close that I was going to do an honorable mention. I will actually end up doing that. One of the reasons that this became complicated and difficult for me to do was the fact that, I really wanted to give it to Renegade Games. Renegade has just been killing it lately with the games that they've been putting out. They've been doing a ton of cool contests. I think the thing that really almost got it for them was let's just call it a stunt, because they basically led up to Gen Con going, we have a game, we're releasing it at Gen Con, we're not telling you what it is. They went into the biggest game buying convention in America saying, we've got a game, we're releasing it at Gen Con, you have to come and hang out with us to find out what it is. And that takes a huge amount of guts. And the fact that it was Clank in Space made me super happy. I know some people were salty about it. I freaking loved the fact that it was Clank in Space. Renegade has come out with a bunch of games, but this particular year, I have to give it to a company that I'd been waiting for what they were going to put out for a really long time. The announcement went out that this company was formed and that it was going to be working on some stuff. But this year was the year that the games really started to hit the market. And that is Restoration Games. I love everything about Restoration Games. The idea that this company goes out and finds games from our youth that really aren't great, but had some kind of potential to them, had something about them that said there's the kernel of a really good modern gaming experience here. We need to just do a little work to massage it to really make it pop. I love the fact that they're kind of going back into our history, taking stuff that was formative and saying, we're going to make it even better and even cooler. Because it's really easy to look through the history with rose-colored glasses and say, oh, I remember playing that and it was awesome. But then you look back on it and go, yeah, it kind of was garbage. So these guys go back and say, we want to take the feeling of playing it and make it an actually good game. And the thing that clinched it, the thing that jumped these guys up above Renegade and got them the win, was when they announced that the next game they're going to release is Fireball Island. That announcement made me so happy. I was watching the recording of the podcast from the Dice Tower where they dropped that announcement and literally dropped my headphones off my head and like danced around the room. Every time Restoration Games started doing their thing, they're like, go ahead, go to our website and post what you want to see happen. What game do you want to see made new? Every time they did that, I was on that site saying Fireball Island, please God make Fireball Island awesome. And they're doing it. I still say my biggest annoyance about PAX Unplugged and how quickly I was in and out of that was the fact that I was talking to Rob Daviau about Fireball Island and I didn't get it recorded. I am super excited about that game. Restoration Games, just the whole company has a cool philosophy. And once that announcement got made, I know the game hasn't even released and it won't release until next year, if not the year after that. But dang it. That and the fact that one of their games that got released got added on to the Inroads approved games list. Like, these guys have been killing it. I really look forward to seeing what they're going to have to do in the future. Okay. The next one is one that may need a little bit of explaining above and beyond. But this one is something that we kind of do that, it's the favorite franchise game category. And what we mean by franchise game, it could be one of two different things. Sometimes we've used this to be the best game that is related to a specific IP, like Star Wars games have won it in the past, stuff like that. Things that take something that is an established IP and said, we're going to make a game out of it. The other thing that can get a game in this particular category, and if I'm looking over your response as much as I am mine, it looks like both of us went with this latter part for this category this year. Yeah. It's a game that came out this year that is part of a franchise of games. Like there's something like a series of games. It looks like both of us got this one. So let's just go in with that. It's my turn to go first. My game is from the good people at Red Raven Games, Ryan Lockett and his team. I went with Near and Far. If you have no idea how Near and Far is a franchise game, I've got a couple other games to talk to you about. Above and Below, Islebound, Near and Far. These games all have a very similar kind of tone to them. In fact, there are tiles that appear in Islebound and Near and Far that can be played in Above and Below. That's how, despite the fact that these games are completely different, there's enough together in them that there's overlap in how these tiles work. Near and Far is a really amazing kind of game because, you know, I love Above and Below. It's a fantastic game, and I have nothing but good things to say about it. But at the end of the day, Above and Below is pretty much just a worker placement game with some storytelling elements, and that's neat, but whatever. Near and Far takes that and says, what if we made this a campaign where you are actually traveling from place to place, where your characters grow and your characters gain these experiences? Near and Far does all of that. You are literally traveling. And the cool thing about it is that, you know, one of the things that I've mentioned when I talk about Stuffed Fables, which the only reason Stuffed Fables hasn't gotten my Game of the Year stuff is because it hasn't actually physically been released yet. But the thing I talk about with Stuffed Fables is that the board is actually a storybook. And Near and Far does that too. So when you go through the one place that you've explored, going to the next one is literally flipping the page of a book and moving through a campaign book. I think that is a really interesting way to set this stuff up. And yeah, no, I'm super bummed that I don't currently own a copy of Near and Far, because dang, that game just nailed everything that was great about Above and Below and kicked it up to a whole other notch.
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting Above and Below myself, so it looks like a pretty interesting concept.
Oh, yeah. All right, Daniel, lay it on me, because I know.
Zombies by Twilight Creations. And the reason why I can keep bringing this game up
is because they have like 4,000 expansions to it.
Okay, no, they just have 15 expansions. Just 15.
Just 15.
But the newest one came out this year, and it's called Zombies 15, Another One Bites the Dust. And, you know, every time they add an expansion, it's not like a new, I mean, it changes the base game. And you can play all the expansions at once. And they also added tokens. You could buy little tokens of the bullets and hearts now, which I have. And I'm excited to have. You know, because it's better than those little chipboards that you're trying to pick up in, you know, place where you need to go.
Okay, I'm not going to poo-poo on anybody's award here. You know, this is your jam. You love zombies, and I will not be the guy who says it. But one thing I will ask, if not for my benefit, but then for the people at home, what does this expansion do? Other than the tokens and stuff, what does this expansion do that none of the other ones did?
I haven't got it yet. It just came out. But no, the expansion itself, it's more different board pieces. This time they're in, you know, they're not in the city like you were beforehand. You're in the desert this time. And they're trying to find more people to eat like normal. So you're playing with desert pieces, and there'll be new rules for the zombies. This is just one that I haven't picked up yet. But yeah, it falls under the rules. But and as you guys don't know yet, zombies, or some of you may, zombies is a tile game. You know, you have a stack of tiles, and every turn, the next player lays down a new tile, which increases the board and adds more zombies. It's kind of like, as I talked beforehand about Ravenloft, I really enjoy those types of games where your board is dynamic. It changes every time you play the game. So you can essentially play this game over and over and over and over again, and it's always going to change.
Okay. That's all I need. I've never played zombies. I don't know anything about zombies, but I know one thing for certain is that you love zombies.
It's me and my mom have always loved zombies, period. Not the games, but the whole genre of zombies. Way before Walking Dead ever came out, we loved zombies. Night of Living Dead, you know what I'm saying. I can't think of words tonight. But anyway, the Return of the Living Dead and all the classics. They're just there. We like flesh-eating people.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the next category up is always an interesting one. It has come up with some really weird titles. And it's one of those things that technically, if you've listened to previous episodes, there's a chance you've heard us talk about these things. But really, these games kind of fall under the radar. This is the hidden gem category. This is a game that we hadn't heard many people talk about it, but then we got it in front of us. And despite the fact that no one had ever mentioned it, that there was no hype train, that there was nothing that was leading us to get this game, oh my goodness, there's something about this game that just floored us. So, Daniel, it is your turn to go first.
Well, this game that I'm getting ready to mention, the first time I ever heard about it was on the Dice Tower. And this was a comment made, just a little side comment about the game. They talked about it. Said, me and my kids played this game, and it was okay. And that's all I heard. It was okay. So when I get to Gen Con, and everybody's whispering, there's this new game, More Rats in Space. And I'm like, oh yeah, I heard about that on the Dice Tower. Let's go check it out. And so I went, and it is there by Peaceable Kingdoms. And I looked down, and I realized that this was a cooperative play game for 4 players. And I fell in love with it, because that's what I need more of in my life, is cooperative play. And it's good for kids, and it's made by the same guy who designed Pandemic.
Yeah, it is a Matt Leacock joint, as it were.
Yes, it is a great game, and it's a kid's game, but it also can be played with adults because it's that good. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Buy it because it's good, Daniel Fisher. There's a box quote if ever I heard one.
Yeah, and it's going to go in the box, and they're going to give us all free copies, and expansions and all those wonderful things, and when they turn it into a legacy game.
More Rats in Space Legacy. I would play the heck out of that.
Actually, I'm going to start designing that right now.
There you go. Mine, oddly enough, I only just recently discovered this. That's how much of a hidden gem this game is. You would have never heard me talk about it because I only found out about it at PAX Unplugged. This is from the folks at AEG. And the only reason I got this game, the only reason I found this game was, I need to explain a little bit about what AEG does. AEG, at some of their events, hosts these dinners. And it's basically, come, hang out, have some food with us, and then play some of our newly released games. Some stuff that's just coming, just hitting the market right now. So you come, you play the games, and then they actually end up, as part of the cover charge and everything, you actually get a chance to take some of the games home. Well, we were literally waiting for the train to head home. And we met up with some other folks that had been to a bunch of our game days before, had done a bunch of Inroads events. And so it was nice to see them. I'm like, hey, how you doing? How was your con? That was great, whatever. And they're all holding these giant, the convention bags full of stuff. And at one point they looked at me and said, look, Mike, we both paid to get into the AEG event. And so we both got the games that they gave away as part of this event. We don't need 2 copies of all these games. So do you want them? I said, yeah, of course I do. And so it came with a bunch of games, some of them that I'd heard of before. One of the games that they gave me, which I haven't played yet, but it's called Oath of the Brotherhood. And if you looked on our site, Oath of the Brotherhood was on my Gen Con preview. Like, I really am curious about this game. I was like, yes, awesome. But obviously, because it was on my Gen Con preview, it's not a hidden gem because I already knew it was coming. One of the things that they got was three small box games. And there was one that I was super excited about because it was Jason Tagmeier. There was one that it looks okay. It's not a bad game, but I'm not here to talk about either one of those. I will probably mention both of those at some other point. What I'm here to talk to you about is a game that every person I have played this game with has fallen in love with it. I'm talking about this game that I brought my copy to work with me, and I ended up having to buy a copy just to keep at work because I kept being annoyed every time somebody's like, hey, did you bring it with you? This game is Cat Lady.
That's exactly what my mom's going to be one day.
Cat Lady is the name of this game, and Cat Lady is a complete, it's like the definition of a hidden gem. I had never heard of this game. I knew absolutely nothing about the gameplay. In fact, I was a little nervous to crack it open because I'm like, really? How good could this game possibly be? The way Cat Lady plays is that you put down cards in a grid. It's a 3x3 grid. And every turn, you get to take this little cat figure, this little cat, you know, meeple, and move it. And you can claim all the cards in a column or a row. And then you just replace those cards. The cards that you're picking up come in a couple different flavors. There are cats that give you points at the end of the game. There is food that the only way those cats will give you points is if they're fed by the end of the game. There's costumes, and whoever has the most costumes for their cat gets a selection of bonus points. There's toys. The more different types of toys you have for the cats, the more valuable they are. And there's catnip. Catnip, if you have a certain amount of catnip, you get bonus points for every fed cat in your collection. And there's spray bottles, which lets you move the little cat meeple, which I won't spend too much time going into all the, there actually is a little bit of strategy to this game as far as where you move that cat, because wherever the last person went, you can't just do that again. You have to be able to, you have to move the cat to pick a different row. So there's both ways that you can do it before your turn so that you'll be allowed to go where the cat already has been. Or you can do it after your turn to kind of block the next player so that they don't get to choose the cards that are in a column or row that it looks particularly choice. This game is super simple. It literally is get cats that get you points by feeding them. And yeah, it is that simple. You pick a column or you pick a row. But I've never had an experience where a game has had more people in more varied audiences, varied age ranges. Literally every person I have put Cat Lady in front of has loved Cat Lady. This is, by the definition of the word, a hidden gem, and it's super easy to pick up. They just did a reprint. Get Cat Lady. It's insane how good this small box game is. I never would have even dreamed of picking it up. Had these guys not donated a copy, I never would have even looked at Cat Lady. But my goodness, did it blow me away. It's a light game, so don't get me wrong. If you're looking for like heavy, serious strategy, don't do it. But if you're looking for something that's light, that everybody can get into, wow, Cat Lady knocked it out of the park this year. All right, the next one is also one that's kind of interesting. We've seen a lot of different stuff over the years we've been doing this, be referenced in this category. It's not a game in and of itself. This is the favorite game resource. These are things that make the gaming experience better. Things that allow us to just have a better time of gaming, or they make gaming easier, or they make it more accessible. All the stuff that isn't gaming, but has a positive element to gaming, specifically to our gaming. It's my turn to go first. I'm going to say that this is another one where this is something that I never thought I'd get. But having got it, I'm really glad that I did. It's the Board Game Stats app. Now, the reason that I was so hesitant to get this is because part of me is like, how much of a nerd do you honestly have to be to keep track of this kind of stuff? This app lets you keep track of who played, what their scores were. I always thought I was a nerd just for hopping on BoardGameGeek and record every game I played. And I thought that made me pretty much a board gaming nerd. But this goes to a whole other level. With the push of a button, you can say, what's the game you've played the most this month? What day of the week do you often get to play the most? How many players do you often play with? Currently, I'm at about 4 being the average number of players I'm playing. Like, you can break down how many times you win in games when you play with so-and-so. Like, it's unreal the amount of data diving you can do with this freaking app. And so the reason I would put it out there is that, you know, yeah, it is nerdy, and yeah, it is, you know, there's part of me that still, even after I'm putting it for this award, there's part of me that's like, wow, how much do I really need of this? But there's something about being able to look at this experience, because especially for guys like us who are trying to, you know, do so much with gaming. Like, one thing I'll say is that people will always look at me and be like, oh, you probably win all the games. I can quantifiably tell you right now, I do not win a lot of games because I have that information available at the push of a button. I can tell you how often I lose. I can tell you how badly I lost.
He wins 25% of the games he plays, folks.
It's really interesting to put that stuff in front of people. I can look and say, you know, oh, you know, I've had a run on two-player games. Maybe I should get more two-player games. Or, I often play, you know, little party games because my player count is somewhere around 6 or 7 all the time. I can look at, literally break down by month, what did I play most and how many times did I play it? Like, that sort of information is really good when it comes down to figuring out what games you want to buy next, figuring out, you know, holes in your collection. Like, maybe you do spend a lot of time playing this. Maybe you should branch out and try. There's so many different things if you're willing to look at the information. And I got to tell you, if you're in the board gaming hobby, the likelihood that you're willing to go full ham on these stats is pretty significant. I really do think that for just a minor amount of effort, you can do so much cool stuff with the information that you have on this app. It's only a couple bucks, and it does so much. It creates so much really interesting data. And it'll be really interesting to see how this develops as I use it more and more, because it's only going to create a larger data set. And before I go full nerd, I think it's time we move on to Daniel. Yeah.
So I have an honorable mention, and I have the website that I voted on this. My honorable mention goes to an Android app, which will be on iPhone eventually, because I have been in contact with the developers. It's called PaintRack. So, as most of you guys know, I paint miniatures. It's my hobby, along with gaming, and it's part of the gaming hobby for me. But I like to know what paints I have, and what paints are available, and what paints I can match to other paints through branding. So, like, say I needed a color like Demonic Yellow from Army Painter, but I didn't have it. What color matches that from other paint ranges? So, this application allows me to save my entire paint inventory. Yes, I am that nerd. I inventory everything, but it lets me know how many bottles of that color of paint I have, which paint is identical to it, which paint matches it. So if somebody says, hey, I want to paint a Blood Bowl team that's this color here, then, you know, that primary color, then I can find the other two colors that match it that I can do, you know, the pants on and other parts of the jerseys. But yeah, that's my honorable mention. So, but getting to the actual thing that's a gaming resource for me is bundleofholding.com. If you are an RPG player, this is a must-have website or must-go-to website for any of you. Because, one, you get a bundle of PDFs for a very small amount that you actually don't need to buy any. Say you buy something from Savage Worlds. One of the ones I got on there was East Texas University. It comes with everything you need to play it. You will not need anything else to play that. They do different games, but all the money goes to charity, and you get PDFs of these awesome games. And, you know, I check it every day to see what's on there. It's new. But, yeah, that's my game of the year. I mean, or the game resource of the year for me is that, because, again, I check it all the time. I've spent so much money there, guys. It's ridiculous. But my gaming library has grown immensely, and it helps me out when I run a game. So.
All right, the next one, I particularly like this category. I have a ton of fun figuring out who to kind of give a shout-out to on this one, because this one is the favorite game industry / gaming media personality. We get a chance to talk to a whole bunch of people in this world of gaming, whether it's directly, that we actually get a chance to talk with them face-to-face, or over Twitter, or over emails, or all that stuff. Or even sometimes it's literally just, we really like what this person does. They're content creators that we love their stuff. As such, we want to make sure that we give credence to people who are doing awesome stuff, give them a shout out, and maybe if you don't know who they are, kind of point you in their direction saying, these people are doing awesome stuff and you should get to know them. Daniel, I believe it is your turn to go first.
Yes. My personality is Duncan Two Coach Rhodes. As y'all know, as I mentioned earlier, I do paint miniatures and I watch a lot of painting videos. And Duncan is the main painter on the Warhammer TV podcast, or not podcast, but a YouTube video blog. And, you know, we make fun of him because he's always, you know, everybody in the forums makes fun of him because he's always like, apply two thin coats. And that's why he gets the name Two Coats. But he makes fun of himself, which is pretty much hilarious. And it makes him a, you know, pretty good guy. And I do enjoy listening to him. But yeah, he's my favorite personality this year. Mike, what would be yours?
I've done this before. I can say that it's technically two people, but it's two people for the exact same reason. And so I kind of lump them together. My two people are Suzanne Sheldon and Mandy Hutchinson. The reason I'm particularly calling them out this particular year, because both of them have been doing gaming content for a while now. The reason I'm particularly saying is because this year they became co-hosts over at the Dice Tower. Both of them have taken on more responsibilities at the Dice Tower, and both of them are just amazing. Mandy's a lovely human being who does phenomenal stuff. She really likes more of the drier Euro kind of stuff, but at the same point, I need that because I don't naturally gravitate towards those games. So I need somebody who's going to point them out to me. And so she does a phenomenal job of that. And Suzanne is lovely. I've never met Suzanne in person, but I have to tell you that every experience I've had with her, whether it's on Twitter, Suzanne is one of the people who, if I'm just bored to tears and I need to be silly on the internet, I know that I can drum up a GIF war on Twitter with Suzanne. I know that every time somebody says about, you know, board game related apps, my first person to talk to is Suzanne because she knows everything about that. She actually has a Google Doc that she will share with people that literally says all of the well-known board game apps across every platform, and she'll break it down by which platforms they're currently available on and which ones they aren't. Both of them got a lot of flack this year. When they joined on to the Dice Tower, they took a lot of flack. A lot of people got real ugly and up in their faces. And it's especially because of that I want to be like, I want to make sure that people know that these people are awesome. They do phenomenal work. They're incredibly knowledgeable and they're just good people. So in a world that is growing completely divisive in literally everything, when people are getting better and better about being ugly to each other, I want to say that these people are awesome. And yeah, I just want to give them a shout out. They do great things and more people need to listen to them because they're awesome. Hey kids, Future Mike here, jumping in with just one bit of added commentary. Now, over the years, there have been plenty of times when I've been editing these episodes, and I think to myself, wow, I really kind of wish Past Mike had said this right here. And I think about how the fact I really dropped the ball. Now, most of the time when I get to that point, it's not worth disrupting the flow of the episode to interject that piece of information, but this time it really is. One aspect of what these women are up to on the internet, Suzanne specifically, is about growing the accessibility and representation of different sort of folks in the gaming world. She takes an outrageous amount of garbage on the internet for what she says, some of which is coming from people so cowardly that they delete the message and even their accounts after sending them. I know for me, I want more people in the hobby, and I want to do whatever it takes to make that place more welcoming, more safe, and more encouraging to all sorts of different people from all over the spectrum. Suzanne continues to bring stuff to light to make this hobby better, and for crying out loud, it needs to be spoken of more. Even if past Mike was so tired and spent that he needed me to catch him on the rebound to bring this up, I'm gonna make sure that it happens. Anyway, I hope you're really enjoying the awards so far. We worked hard on them this year. Future Mike out. Okay, that said, since at least one of the last ones that I did was podcast related, this one was actually a new category that was requested. It is a brand new category that TR Knight, who's already been mentioned, specifically requested because he'd be curious. We were asked to do a favorite podcast. Now, he didn't specify whether this was gaming or not, and so, I don't know, in this and future renditions of this awards, it may or may not be gaming related, but there's something about these podcasts that we think are worth calling out into the world. I actually have an honorable mention on this one, and I also have just my regular one. The honorable mention goes to one that I just discovered. Like everyone who listens to podcasts, I listen to This American Life. It's just one of those ones that people listen to. And I never miss it. And I can't remember when it was, but at some point or another, they mentioned that one of the guys who puts together This American Life does another podcast. And it's a sci-fi improv comedy podcast. And I go, okay, I'm really curious now. The guy who was in This American Life is called Seth Lind, and he does a podcast called Mission to Zix. And because it's super sci-fi, haha, I'm going to spell that so that you can actually look it up. It's Mission to Zix, spelled Z-Y-X-X. The short version, this is about, it makes fun of every sci-fi trope in existence. It's super funny. It's a lot of people who are either professional or semi-professional improv comedy actors making fun of sci-fi tropes and silliness. It's every trope of every sci-fi thing you've ever heard of in your life. Like, the one guy is a robot who is very emotionless. You've got one person who's an alien who is described as this ridiculous, you know, body structure and all that. You've got the ship. The ship's AI, who talks about the fact that it used to be an actress in all sorts of films. You've got all this stuff. You've got the guy who's kind of their at-home liaison, whose name is Nermit Bundeloy. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing ever, and I can't stop listening to it. It is flipping hilarious. I will say, it is not always family friendly. So because of the fact that I know our audience, I feel like I need to say that. But my goodness, I have a ton of fun listening to that podcast. But that's just my honorable mention. When it came down to figuring out who to give my favorite podcast to, I kind of looked. I did want to keep it gaming. I listen to a lot of gaming podcasts, so there's no shortage to pick from. I wanted to find something that isn't like every other gaming podcast that I listen to. And so there were two things that stuck out to me. This one was, I can't say it's the only one I listen to, but it is primarily, I think it's the first one that I started listening to that is a entirely female-led podcast. It is also one of the few ones that I know of, like, We last for about an hour. There are some podcasts, a lot of the big name ones go for 3 hours long. These guys do it in 30 minutes. They have a full experience of podcasting in 30 minutes. These folks do the impossible. It's Board Game Blitz. If you've never listened to Board Game Blitz, I will highly recommend it. The hosts are Ambi, Cassidy, and Crystal. They are very active in the community. They're all over social media. They do a bunch of different conventions, and they even do their own event called BlitzCon. And I highly recommend it. It's 30 minutes, which is amazing. It's such a good little quick hit about gaming that I can't recommend them highly enough. They have an interesting voice in the community. They're really funny. They're cool people. And they do all of that in 30 minutes. So I highly recommend checking them out.
Well, I have to talk about one of my favorite podcasts that I introduced my wife to last time we went to Dollywood. Yes, we do go there quite often. One of my friends actually helped with this one. And it's a local podcast done by actors here. And it's called The Lonesome Pine Podcast. Now, I've actually shared this with Mike. And it is a mystery told from the side of the newspaper person that's writing the editor who was writing the article for a investigation that one of his reporters was doing. And that's all I'm going to leave you with, but it takes place in Southwest Virginia, you know, just about 30 minutes from my home, and it's an actual town, and you all need to check it out. It's the Lonesome Pine LonesomePinePodcast.com. But I do have to warn you, it is not family friendly. Adults and older teens are probably your best option for this one.
Yeah, it's always hard to tell people about a mystery because it's like I'd tell you more information and why it's awesome, but then you'd miss out on literally the core element Everything. Of the podcast.
Yeah.
It is good. All right, we are going to jump with the next category into the digital realm. It's funny because with you just being you and me, Daniel, this particular year, oddly enough, both of us met each other through Game Church, which yes. does video games. So while Inroads itself is entirely tabletop related, every once in a while we want to jump in and say that we are also playing video games on occasion. So there's stuff that is out there that we want to draw your attention to. And this is favorite video game of the year. I mentioned Game Church. I can actually say that every year at the end of the year for them, because like I said, this is what people do. Game Church does a list of the top games of the year that, you know, the top games that Jesus would love that were created that year. And as a contributor to the folks at the blog over there, they actually ask me occasionally to contribute a blurb about why certain games deserve to be on it. And my game that I'm putting out to you guys is also the one that I wrote about on my blurb. I'll probably end up actually linking that in the show notes for this one. It's Pyre. Pyre. You know, you talk about a mystery that you don't want to share too much about it, and you can't share too much about it because you lose out on the experience of learning and seeing as stuff develops. I can't spend too much talking to you about why I think the story of Pyre is amazing, but I will give you kind of the run-up of what the kind of the setup of the game. You play as a reader. A reader literally has the gift of literacy, so they are able to read books and actually like communicate to people participating in this event called The Rite. The Rites are basically what happens if you take a role-playing game and make it a sports game. I don't know how better to explain that to you. You have to literally take a ball and have your character carry the ball or throw the ball into a fire. And that's how you score points. And so that in and of itself is fun. You play as three people teams that are trying to score more points in the right than your opponents. Whoever wins kind of moves up the ranks and gets to participate in basically the again, I don't want to send too much. You eventually there's this part where you get to like this championship kind of match. If you win that, something awesome happens, but I'm not going to talk about that because it's all stuff that you need to experience. You need to see how this happens. You need to see how it unfolds. Pyre is beautifully, the music is amazing. The artwork is amazing. It's from the same people who made, Bastion. My goodness. Play Pyre. Just play Pyre. Do yourself a favor and play Pyre. It's such a good game. It's been around for a while. It came out early this year. So there's plenty of stuff out there. If you want to check out some of what the art style looks like and things like that, you can even go on their wiki and kind of get some information about it. But I just want to tell you to play it and experience it, because there were a number of times playing it where I thought I knew where the story was going and then it went somewhere else. And I will leave you with this, and it will make more sense when you start playing it. Sir Gilman is the greatest character created in video games probably ever. I'm just going to leave you with that. He is amazing.
Well, as a lot of you guys know, I don't play a lot of video games anymore. I do play a lot of Minecraft, but I did buy a game this year on my tablet. And, you know, one of my favorite games, Milton Bradley games, is Clue. And I was advised that this game is like a new version of Clue. And this game's Mysterium. And I did buy it this year because Mike's like, you need to buy this game and play with me. I'm learning how to play it first before I play Mike, because, you know, with Mike's stats and all, he'll probably just wipe the floor with me.
No, I will say, it will be nice to play Mysterium, because I play, I don't own the physical board game, I do own the app.
Yeah.
Playing the AI, there are times when I've literally looked at my computer screen going, I think the AI's broken, I can't imagine how that equals what they're trying to make it equal.
Right, and so I've been learning this game. It's like Clue. You've got to figure out who did the murder, how they did the murder, and where they did the murder. But you're a psychic, so you have to get it through these images that you receive, and then you have to figure out how this links up to who did the murder. And that's where I'm, you know, sitting there going, what in the world? So I'm still learning this, and hopefully I can master it soon and be online and play with Mike on my tablet.
The best way I've described it to get people to understand how the game plays, I basically take two older games. I say it's part Clue, part Dixit.
Oh, okay.
Because the way the ghost, the person who's giving the clues, gives the information out, is by handing each individual person a picture. And that picture is supposed to give them the information as to who, what, and where the murder happened. And so, but all you're given is a picture. And so you're trying to figure out, based on what that picture is, what you're supposed to guess. And so, yeah. The app is really well done. It is really well put together. As much as I complain about a broken AI, it really is good.
So, let's see here. I guess I get to do the game of the year. I get to go first
one. You get to go.
I've been so excited about this game, because this game is not like the other games I talk about. The board never changes on this. This is like a new version of chess. The board never changes, and you've got to learn and master your skills so you can become better than the person playing it. And this game is Photosynthesis.
Competitive tree growing.
Yes, competitive tree. If you're the type of person that likes to watch paint dry, and I am, because I do every day, you're going to love watching trees grow. And so what you're doing is, this board doesn't change. The only thing that really changes about this board is the direction the sunlight is coming from. And you have to plant your trees in the idea of where it's going to block the most sun from your competitors. And so you figure that out, and you grow this tree up to the point where you cut it down so you can grow more trees. That's it. Photosynthesis.
Well, I will say that the thing I like about Photosynthesis is just, I love how gorgeous it is.
Yeah.
Like, the strategy is really intense and really interesting but I love a game with a really good table presence, and my goodness, does Photosynthesis have a cool table presence.
Yes. And I mean, I've not taken it out in public and played it at all, But I could see myself at a coffee house sitting there playing it, you know, with my plaid on and my lumberjack hat when I'm going to cut this tree down soon. I really wish they did have a single player mode, though, but they don't.
You never know. All right. My game of the year, there were a number of competitors for this one. It has been a very good year for board games this year. So when you have so many awesome things that have come out, you got to find something that kind of separates one title from the pack, kind of removes it from all the other equally awesome things that came out this year. So I went with something that, you know, when we talked about, we did an episode a while back about why you pick up certain games and why you don't pick up certain games. And one of the things that I suggested was that you want to get a game that does something different that no one else has done, and something that will take a theme that is well experienced and turn it on its head. That game was Spirit Island. Spirit Island is my game of the year, mostly due to the fact that it, in all the places that so many other games have done, it has really cool components. It has really nice artwork. It has a modular board. It's able to be played solo. It is a really deep strategy game. It allows, when you are playing with multiple people, it allows you to strategize on how you can kind of work together to do awesome stuff. It is a co-op game. These are a lot of my favorite things that are all coming together in Spirit Island. The thing that really established it above the rest of them is the fact that it does something really neat with the theme. You are all playing as the spirits of this island who want to get rid of the invading force, the settlers. Normally, you are the people who go to a land and conquer. On Small World, you are kicking out the natives like they're just so much obstacles. In Catan, there are apparently no natives in Catan. Apparently not, because, you know, we've removed them all, at least. Like, every game is about going to a place, setting up shop, and just exploiting the heck out of it. Spirit Island says, what about the natives? And so you have to defend the native people, and you also have to kick the invading kind of colonialists out of your island. And I really like the way that each individual spirit does something completely different. I like how it gives you that kind of variety. It gives you the ability to synthesize with other spirits and do cool stuff and combo in neat ways. Like, my favorite one that I always love talking about is, I can't remember the names because it's not like simple names. It's always like the raging ocean that spits the, yeah, so I never remember the names of them if I don't have them in front of me. But there's one spirit who is all about fear, and he just moves people around the board. And I'm sitting there, and I hadn't even played the game, but I'm watching and I'm looking at all the different spirits. I go, you're playing the fear guy and you're playing the ocean. So basically what I'm seeing is that the fear guy can drive the settlers out into the shoreline, and then the ocean guy can just suck them away. And they're like, yeah, that pretty much can happen. I'm like, this is amazing. Why am I not playing this right now? So without doubt, it just got a new reprint, and there have been so many nights where I find myself going, just going to one of the sites I get games from, hovering over that buy button. I go, I can explain this to Susan later, right? I can make sense of the fact that why I need to buy this $80 game right now, right? This is easy. I can do this because man, Spirit Island is doing some really cool things. I'm excited. I can tell that there's going to be some expansions. You can't make as much money as this game has made without getting some expansions. I think that it's going to add some more spirits. I think that it's going to add some more cool combinations. And again, I like the fact that you can play it solo if you want, because with these bigger games, it's sometimes hard for me to get a bunch of people to table, but there are times, especially coming up, when I'm going to have this baby who can't sleep, and so I need to be up. So I can just find myself going, all right, kid, you know, the kid's going to need to get fed in another, you know, 20 minutes. Let me play another round of Spirit Island just to, you know, see, you know, move forward a little bit. Yeah. So
just don't vomit on the cards, kid.
Yeah. Just don't vomit on the cards. Point in that direction. Spirit of Raging Baby. But yeah, so that is our end of year awards. Please feel free to let us know in comments whether you agree with us, disagree with us, or have other things that we should have thought about, because it's an end of year award show. So obviously there's going to be some of that, because you can't do one of these without getting to that place. Like I said, I will not be with you for a while. We're kind of going on a not exactly sure how long, but it's probably going to be about a month or two before I show up again. So,
be like tax season all over again.
It will be the first time I had to learn how to do inroads paperwork and I disappeared. It's going to be that again. So some of you, you already know how to handle this, but, I look forward to seeing what these guys are going to do. And, it'll be fun to be able to do that as somebody who doesn't know what's happening. And be able to listen to, I'll actually have to download our own podcast to hear what's going on. And that's going to be weird, and I look forward to it. But, I will say just at the end here to kind of tag things out. I'm so proud of this podcast. I'm so proud of this ministry, and I'm so proud of the community. The regulars, I'm not even joking when I say that the regulars community is pretty much my favorite people on the internet.
You're proud of me.
I am. So I really want to leave this year saying that. I know I'm coming back. I know that, you know, this is not a forever goodbye. It's not even all that long, really, seeing as we do this every other week. So before you know it, I'll be back. But I really want to make sure I make that known, because we have a bunch of people who are new, a bunch of people who've just come into the community this year, who started listening to the podcast this year, and I want that to be known. You guys are amazing. I love being a part of this community. I love seeing what's happening in the tavern. I love the fact that when Daniel's dog got sick, we celebrated the fact that he was getting better by all of us sharing our dog pictures in the tavern. Like, that was the most internet moment of the tavern, I think, right there, when all of us are just like, cool doggo pictures.
I enjoyed those, by the way, everybody.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. I love when new people come in and we announce them and suddenly it's literally just an endless stream of GIFs of random things waving. Like, I love the stuff that we've seen. I love having seen what this community has become and what it continues to grow into as we are quickly approaching 600 people in the tavern. Yeah, I'm super proud of this. It hurt. There's part of me that really does hurt. I want you guys to know that it takes the birth of my firstborn son to get me to walk away from a couple months, because I love making this content for you and I love the interactions that we have afterwards. So I can't wait to see you guys in 2018. I hope you have an amazing Christmas season as we finish up 2017. And I look forward to being able to say this over and over and over again in 2018. Always remember, God is the game master. No matter how the dice fall, the game plays on.